Reading is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning to read from the second half of verse 18. Philippians 1, 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Now John is coming to speak to us.
Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can turn to your word and discover their words of life. And we pray that you will open our ears and our hearts to the truths here, and that by your Spirit you will enable us to live by them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do keep these verses from Philippians open in front of you. I know that here at Emmanuel you've been looking through the whole of this letter, and we'll continue to do so. So for those from Christchurch, it's an opportunity just to drop in. But to some wonderful, wonderful verses here. I can remember the first set of decent binoculars that I was ever given. They were times 10 magnification, and it was amazing. Not for spying on people, let me assure you, but for identifying birds and understanding what they were. I could see and identify things that I didn't even know were there in the trees or whatever. And then a friend had a telescope, and I think the magnification of that was something like 100 times. And with my shaky hands, I wouldn't have been able to see anything. But on its tripod, steady, you could see phenomenal detail at a distance. Think beyond even that, times 10 or times 100 magnification. Think to what the Hubble Space Telescope does. And I'm not going to tell you any figures at all, because I wouldn't understand them. Orbiting the Earth since 1990, giving us clear pictures, clearer pictures than ever before into deep space, apparently. Phenomenal. Helping us to understand things that we've never even seen or knew were there before. Something that gives us clarity on reality. Now, these verses from Philippians, I think, do something similar and something vital for us. They help us to get a really clear focus on something that is so important. They help us have clear thinking about life and about death. A few years ago, a pastor who was a much-loved husband and father and grandfather was coming to the end of his life. And he couldn't speak anymore, and the doctors explained to his family that he didn't have very long to live and that they should come and say goodbye to him. And it was an emotional gathering for them as they gathered around the hospital bed. Now, he couldn't speak, but he signaled to them to get a piece of paper and a pen so that he could write a final message to them. And one by one, he wrote the words in a list on top of each other. And they were the words from verse 21. Have a look at that. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then at the end of that list, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. At the end, he took a lot longer to write the final word, which was hallelujah, praise God. Those were his final words to his family, written. And the family knew then that what this person had taught and had lived through his life was secure to take him through life into eternity with Jesus. They knew that he could trust himself entirely to his Savior Jesus Christ at this point. Now, these words, when they were first written and first heard by the church at Philippi, I think would have been words that would have made them all sit up and think, yes, this is what we've staked our life on, but yes, this is the reality. We can really trust this. And Paul, in the words around this, is explaining how real they were for him. But I'm guessing also that these words will be life-giving and also perhaps a challenge for us, for many of us here today. Because I'm guessing if you're anything like me, there are so many things to enjoy here and now that we wonder, is it safe to trust our eternity to Jesus? Can we really do that? And I want to suggest that we need the clarity of these verses more than ever before. Not the clarity that a telescope or binoculars give, but the clarity that the Holy Spirit will give us in our minds and our hearts to understand and live by these wonderful words. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. When we become a follower of Jesus, we realize that because he's given his life for us, we can entrust our lives to him. Because he's given everything for us, we can give up everything for him. We discover that he is Lord of all and we follow him gladly. But I think the question that comes sooner or later to us is, are we carrying on living with that perspective that Jesus is Lord of all, that we're trusting him with everything, that he is the center, the focal point of our lives, he is all that we're living for? Do we carry on with that perspective? As we look at the verses around that verse 21, we'll see how that was Paul's focus in his life. Have a look back to it, and just to where we begin, halfway through verse 18. Paul was experiencing joy in really tough times. Joy is a big theme in this letter. You'll have seen that. So he says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Now, that's not just a simple phrase for him to say. It's quite a strange one, because Paul, as you'll have seen, had been in prison and was facing up to the very real likelihood of his own death. But in the midst of that, in the midst of great persecution and difficulty, he has God's perspective. And he knows, if you again have a look in verse 19, he knows that people are praying for him. Verse 19, I know that through your prayers and the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. He knows that people are praying for him, and he knows that because of that, God by his Spirit will give him special strength, deliverance in his point of need. And that word deliverance is not just the rescue word, it's the salvation word. He knows that whether or not he's released from prison, whether or not he's released from death, that doesn't matter. What he knows for sure is that he will be saved, rescued for eternity with Jesus. And so he knows that ultimately he's secure. Nobody can stop him being with God for eternity. Now, I think that's an encouragement to us all, isn't it? To pray for those who are in trouble. Look again at those words. When you pray, through your prayers, help will be given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ to those you pray for. What an encouragement to us to keep on praying for those who are struggling. We've done it already today. Sometimes we wonder, does God work through our prayers? And yet with the stories that come back, we discover that yes, he does. And so what an encouragement to us to keep on praying for those who are in need. Our prayers matter. And whether it's for friends or family or Christians in part of the world where it's dangerous to speak about Jesus, our prayers matter. And for Paul, that assurance of people praying for him gave him the confidence to keep on trusting and carry on preaching about Jesus. So that was the first perspective of joy in tough times. But the second perspective is the major one here. the perspective on life and death. Paul knows that there is certainly plenty to make his life worth living. All of it centered on Jesus. Have a look as he begins to sort of deliberate with himself. Verse 22. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. So he knows that if he stays alive and carries on ministry, then his life is worth living. He will do things that are worth doing. He'll be able to carry on this fruitful work. Verse 25, he knows that actually he will remain and will continue with them all for progress and joy in the faith. He knows that his ministry will enable them to grow in their faith. He knows that if he is spared death, then his life matters. It's worthwhile. And it's a great reminder to us today, isn't it? That if Jesus is at the center of our lives, then what we do for him will have eternal significance. Whether that's an upfront role or one that's behind the scenes, whether we're praying for people, whether we're supporting people, whether we're helping practically, whether we're helping with making buildings right or making groups right or whatever it is, if we're doing that with Jesus at the center of our lives, then that will have an eternal significance. Whatever our calling is midweek to what God has called us to do, perhaps work at home, perhaps other things locally, if we're doing that with God at the center of it, then that will have eternal significance. Somebody's called it echoes into eternity. What we have done will echo on into eternity if Jesus is at the center. Now, I think that's really important for our culture today, where heaven or the concept of eternal life is often mocked or belittled. Look at what Paul also says, not just about his perspective on this life now, but on into eternity. Look at verse 23. As he's deliberating, he says this, I'm torn between the two, to stay alive in ministry or to go and be with Jesus. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He knows that being with Jesus is better than anything and everything that he can enjoy and find purpose in this life. He knows that life with Jesus for eternity will be more fulfilling, more real, more glorious, better than anything that this life can offer. And I think we need that perspective more than ever here today. In our culture that is so much me-centered and take pleasure now and see significance now in what you're doing, we need to keep hold of that eternal perspective. So we get a glimpse into Paul's deliberation. Which is it going to be for him? Will he go to be with Jesus, which is better by far, or will he continue serving and ministering to the people around him? It's as if Paul's giving himself a little bit of a talking to, working this out. But he knows the reality of those verses. For me, for him, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so, question for us this morning, will we allow this detail to come into sharp focus? This truth to be made visible, to be understood in our minds, and to be lived out in our hearts. What is important to me? What is important to you? What is it that you will be putting all your energy, your hopes, your dreams, your excitement into? Will it be things that last or things that fade? Will it be things that God has given us to focus on, or will it be things that actually we know we shouldn't be? Apparently there's some excavations in Carthage when they were doing some archaeology there that unearthed a stone with Latin inscription on it, perhaps from as far back as when Paul was writing these words. And the inscription said something like this, to laugh, to bathe, to game, that is life. To laugh, to bathe, to game, that is life. Now, it's nothing wrong with laughing or bathing or gaming, as far as I know. But if that's all that we think life is, then we've missed out. We might add plenty of others into the list for 2019. I wonder what might be on your list. To accumulate, to live well, to have great relationships, to golf, to garden, to holiday, to run, to ski. What would be on your list of the things that might or do dominate your horizon, the things that you just focus your life on. Now, all these are good gifts to us from God. But when they take over that central place, when they become the thing that our hearts yearn for, then Jesus is no longer at the center of our lives. They're not necessarily in themselves wrong, but if they're all that we live for, then we die, we lose them all. Apparently it was said that at the end of her life, Queen Elizabeth I, who the world looked to for so much, for her power, for her fashion, for all sorts of things, apparently her last words were, "Oh my God, it's over. It's over. Finished. The end of it all." Again, I don't know whether that's true, but what would the end of our life, what might the words be that we would bring? Now, Paul knows that his citizenship is in heaven. He knows, as we've seen, that Jesus lives in him and he lives in Jesus. And he knows that going to eternity with Jesus is better by far, and he can't wait for it almost. He has that eager expectation for it. But he also knows that his ministry here is more important, so much more important than his own needs, his own interests, and so much more valuable. I think these verses are a great encouragement to us to keep going in ministry today, to keep serving Jesus and serving others here. It really, really matters, because God can use our gifts, each of our gifts and the things that we do, to build things for eternity. Over the last few weeks at Christchurch, we've heard stories, powerful stories, about how God has been changing lives through the patient, ordinary serving and caring of the community. Brilliant. I'm sure there are stories here of exactly the same thing happening as God is at work among you. So important for us to be able to trust that God can use us, that God is using us, that God wants to use us. So for that area of ministry that you're thinking, it's hard work, it's not getting anywhere, trust that God can and will use it if you put Jesus at the center, if you keep going and keep trusting, God will use it for eternity. Otherwise, we'll be tempted to slip back into that self-centered living, living for us, for our comfort now, for our own needs to be met. The end of his life, that pastor was able to write to his family and friend, "For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray that we have that same perspective that Paul has, one that will give us joy even in the midst of difficult times, one that will help us keep going in ministry, one that will give us confidence, even perhaps as we come towards the end of our lives, that actually we will be with Jesus, which is better by far. What great hope, what great reason to celebrate and to trust God together. Shall we pray that we are able to have this same perspective? Heavenly Father, we confess that so often we lose sight of the Lord Jesus, of his love for us, of his eternal reign, and of the wonderful gift of eternal life that we have. Father, we recognize that so often we put other things at the center of our lives. And we pray that today you will help us to refocus, to recenter, to put the Lord Jesus right at the center of our lives and to live for him. We thank you for everything else that you give us in our lives. We thank you that we can enjoy so much. We pray that even in those, we will honor and glorify you. And we pray that we may be able to say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We thank you that these words give life and hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.